Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson, for the first time in about 3 weeks. How you doing, Pete?
The returning and conquering hero returns. I'm, of course, talking about me, not you, hanging out on a volcanic island that recently erupted, Chris. I am fantasizing about you in your Cessna, flying away from Sakurajima as it starts to erupt like an action film, like the end of King Kong or something.
That would have been epic. It erupted. Sakurajima volcano erupted just like 2 days ago, and Joey sent me a photo of it. And oh my god, because we flew straight over it, right? We're like 100, 200 meters above the crater where all the smoke comes out. We flew through the smoke itself, which is pretty scary because we had the window open and I had to shut the window to stop the sulfuric gas from coming in. But if it had erupted while we'd flown over it, we would have been dead. Just dead.
Yeah.
That's it.
It wouldn't be ideal.
Great video,
would it? I mean, because obviously the volcanic ash from from Iceland, that I said it like that because there was a famous clip of on ITV News of a Scottish Glaswegian man very upset that he couldn't go on holiday going, "I hate Iceland," when the Icelandic ash cloud happened. But surely if you fly through too much volcano, the engines start to complain a little bit, you would imagine, no?
I think a propeller plane, a propeller's okay. It's more like a jet engine would just
turbine,
be stuck.
Right,
so I think propeller's all right, but like it would have just been pretty dicey. I love the way you said the phrase "too much volcano." On the third or fourth day of Journey Across Japan, we had a challenge, right, to do a rap song, which went interestingly, to say the least. And we had to make a rap, and Natsuki made up his chorus, and the chorus is him just going, "ASO, too much volcano." Too much volcano.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's his big number.
What did A S and O stand for?
A S O. It's the name of the place. Asso. And it's his
Asso,
name.
Of Asso, of course.
An Asso.
I
and
see.
Asso.
Well, I think. These videos people are going to be seeing pretty soon, sort of soon, kind of soon. They're in the pipe.
We always say it's coming out very soon. Then something goes wrong. I don't know. Hopefully, it'll come out at the end of May. It's going to be a massive editing undertaking that's going to make sure that I'm locked inside all of May. That'll be fun. There's some cool stuff in there, from volcanoes to more volcanoes. We rode a horse. I don't want to do that again. Have you ever ridden a horse?
Wow. I've ridden a horse a couple of times, and I've enjoyed it. The man said I was rather naturally gifted at it, so I love riding horses, I've decided.
Gifted horse rider.
Gifted horse rider.
So we got like three horses, right? Joey got the national champion that won like the Olympics of horses.
Right.
I don't know. I wasn't really listening.
He shouldn't be allowed on that.
Well, yeah, he got the prize horse. Natsuki got a horse that was 10 minutes away from being dead. Like it was literally asleep as it plodded along. And I got the 6-year-old brand new horse that had not been trained and nearly threw me off and went mental the entire time. So I had to
Natsuki
abandon
horses.
I had to abandon horse about 15 minutes in, just because it was going insane.
Oh, no.
And so my horse riding hijinks were cut short, unfortunately. And it left a sort of, it made me not want to do it again, because it was quite scary, having just being on the back of this animal that clearly didn't want me there. 85 kilogram yeah. British guy on the back who didn't know what he was doing. I think
the man who's had horse sashimi in the past as well.
Yeah, probably knew what I'd done. The cardinal sin of eating a horse several years ago. I don't know. It didn't go very well, and I can't say I want to do it again, unfortunately. So shame, really. Shame.
Well, does it kind of draw into sort of sharp focus at Joey the Anime Man's experiences doing drifting? Because he couldn't drift because he couldn't run a stick car, and he found it very difficult. Were you kind of like the Joey the Anime Man of the of the horse world? Yeah, a stick car, you know, a little stick car. With a
manual car. Is it a stick men's automobile? yeah, I don't know, really. I just think that's bad luck, isn't it? Bad luck. Got the bad horse. I don't know if it was me on the horse, and the horse just was like, because I got on it, and it turned around and looked me in the eye as if to say, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like,
hello. We're going to have a problem.
Yeah. And at one point, my horse is trying to eat the grass while we were riding along. And I was like, oh, come on, we've got a mountain to go up. And he looked at me and was like, I'm going to fucking smash your head in if you pull on these reins one more time. And I got off him, and then like the trainer, one of the professionals, struggled to get him under control. So it's pretty dicey.
You'd angered it. You'd taken the horse away from his precious grass. But you've had a good time. Like, I mean, are you kind of like absolutely rinsed after a month on the lamb, 21 days later, kind of just alone in the wilderness, you, Natsuki, Joe the Anime Man?
It's been a crazy month because I started going to Kyoto, went to Kyoto and did this event drinking some gin. And I hung out with Connor and did a video in a traditional Japanese house on the second channel.
Cool.
Then I went to did the whole Gin Across Japan thing. Then I went back via Tokyo, where I did a workshop on how to YouTube to a class of 12 people. And now finally back in Tohoku in the comfort of my lavish country estate, which is an apartment where I can hear people shouting this afternoon upstairs. It's good to be back. It's good to be back, I think.
It's after good 21 to be back days. In the noisy apartment.
Absolutely.
What happened with this, how teaching people how to do YouTube? Was it in a room full of Japanese people or Westerners? Or
It was all Westerners this time, actually. Maybe two Japanese folks turned up who were lovely. I did it like in December 2019. I did a workshop at Temple University, which is like an American university that has a branch in Tokyo. And they were like, do you want to teach YouTube? And I was like, yeah, all right, that'd be fun. And I did it, and it was pretty fun. And so I did it again this time, and it was a bit – it was really fun. The people are awesome. Only thing is, because you had to wear a mask, it's quite hard teaching for like two days straight with a mask on because you get quite hot and stuff. So that was a bit of a downer. But no, it's good. I just sort of talked about how to take a channel to like 100,000 subscribers and different techniques for – thumbnails, titles, content, algorithm.
Yes,
all this stuff.
The thumbnail, Photoshop lesson, surprised face, big red letters, something exploding.
You've deconstructed all my thumbnails in 10 seconds, Pete. Yeah, that was good though. I won't do it again, but it was good fun. I feel like it's nice helping people and sitting in a room teaching, but I've done it twice and don't want to do it again now. I'm the sort of person who gets bored after doing something twice, and that was great fun, and I would not regret doing it, and I love doing it. Time to do something else.
Well, I very much enjoyed listening to the Bronze Japan podcast when I wasn't on the Bronze Japan podcast. You chatting to Dogan, big fan of that guy on Twitter, very, very funny man, but quite sort of like... quite shy in real life, it seems. Like he's quite a gifted humorist. But when you actually sort of meet him and he's getting interviewed, he's a bit shy. Bless him.
Poor old Doug. You're absolutely right. He's very shy, and he's a lovely guy. Love him to bits. And he does these like skits and satirical segments on his Twitter and his YouTube that are really well written and really well delivered. And then you meet him in real life, and he's just nice, humble dude. He is a little bit shy, but he's a great guy. And he's done a lot of great stuff. Like, he's one of the most fluent Japanese speakers that I know, who's a non-native speaker, right? He's done a great job with that, and I envy him. Not that I'd want to do that, given he spent so much time like learning the pronunciation of Japanese and the intonation and all that stuff. He's a master of it. But it was good fun. And we chatted after that. I spoke to Alex Shapiro, who I did the video last year talking about real estate. And then the week before that, there was Joey. Yeah. But it's been sad. It's been sad without you. I've missed your cheeky Hartlepool voice in my ears every week. It's good to be back.
Well, look, I'm just glad. I'm glad you're off the island. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad your much maligned trip in a Cessna aeroplane didn't kill you. You sent me a picture from the Cessna. Had you stuck something out the window or something, like a 360 camera out of the window?
Yeah, I had. Like, it's insane. I was the most scared about being in the Cessna. I got pretty unlucky on this trip. Like, I was the most scared of horse riding. I'd never done it before, and Joey and Natsuki had. I got the worst horse that wanted to kill me. On the Cessna, I was quite vocal about how I was the scared one because I went in with Joey and Norm, Tokyo Lens. He was the cameraman and then the pilot. And they were like, we're going to put you by the window seat, which you can open. And then they spent like 20 minutes showing me how to open and shut this window really laboriously and carefully. And of course, I couldn't shut the damn window. Once the plane was like 10,000 feet, I opened the window and stuck my head out. It was quite surreal. And then I couldn't shut it again as we were going over the volcano. I had an Insta360 camera and I was able to poke it out the window a little bit and get this amazing shot where it looks like we've mounted the camera to the wing of the plane, sort of looking back at us riding in the plane with the sea below. It's quite a surreal looking shot, to be honest. And you can see it, for those of you who haven't seen it, you can see it on the thumbnail for the episode where Joey and I talked on the podcast. I put it on there and I'm sure we'll stick it in the thumbnail for YouTube somewhere. Got to put it somewhere.
I very much enjoyed the bit where you flew a drone outside the window of the Cessna. That was epic. You shouldn't have done that, though.
I'd love to have done that. But it is a double celebration. I've come back alive, and it is your birthday in tomorrow.
It's 30th. It'll be Friday. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
40 almost years young, Chris. 40. I've gone to seed, and I have never looked worse.
Well, I think you've improved with age. You've looked more and more like a hitman, a reasonably priced hitman, as the years go on, with your beard and moustache, your ponytail.
Yeah, pound stretcher hitman. Yeah, it's not gone great, but I'll sort myself out. I'll sort myself. Once the, what they call it, white boy summer. I'm going to do a white boy summer. I don't know what it is. Something to do with Tom Hanks' son being an idiot, speaking in patois and being foolish. Something to do with that. It's all very unsavoury, but white boy summer, baby. I don't know what it is. Take my top off. Show him on my belly. Yeah.
Oh, God. And what are you going to do for your birthday other than enjoy your white boy summer?
I think I might. My partner is taking me on a surprise trip. Except it's not a surprise trip because I bought a little room in a zoo. You can, in Portland Zoo in England, you can sort of like hole up in a little cabin on the site at the zoo, so you can just wake up with the sound of lions and giraffes. I don't know whether giraffes make much noise, and gibbons and stuff, and you hear the noises of the zoo and stuff, and get some food and relax, and you know there's a wood burner and stuff. I bought that for my partner, telling her we're going to go to Portland Zoo, and she went, "That is your surprise. We're going to Portland Zoo." So we go to Portland Zoo twice in about a month.
Really? So you kind of like preempted her present by guessing what it is, or was it just sheer coincidence?
Well, sheer coincidence. I'd bought her a trip to Portland. She bought me a trip to Portland. What are you going to do? We're going to Portland. We're going to look like those maniacs who go to Disney three times a year. Or me, Japan.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, though. That'd be really quite cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you going to film it?
I've been there before.
Film that.
I just love the gibbons. They're my favourite things. They are the best. I love them so much.
Get eaten by a lion coming in through the window.
No, I'll try my best. I think I'm in the wolf hall.
Oh, God.
I think I'm in a wolf warren. Do they have warrens? I don't know.
I don't know, but that sounds really cool. That's awesome. Well, good luck with that. And let's dive into story of the week. We've got a story here from Nicole. She says, "Hey, Chris and Pete. I'm Nicole from Florida. Long-time listener, channel viewer, here to share a story from my year of living in the Japanese city of Wakayama. Started as a typical bar-hopping night out with my co-worker from London. However, things changed when we came across a bar with free-flowing shochu, which is kind of like potato sake. Horrible stuff. Natsuki loves it. We quickly got away from ourselves, and soon enough, my dear friend had all the signs of alcohol poisoning. We arrived at the local hospital at 4 a.m. and how much did you drink of this shochu? Bloody hell. And my friend was whisked away by the doctor. Soon after, the doctor called me in and I was given an update. My friend was in a coma. A coma? I was terrified. I double-checked with the doctor that he had indeed said coma, and he confirmed yes, coma. I spent hours, still drunk by the way, calling our family and friends in London and our bosses in Osaka telling them that our beloved Georgie was in a coma and the doctor wasn't sure when she would come to, when suddenly my friend walks out the door into the waiting room, all smiles. Turns out the doctor had mistranslated "she's sleeping it off" to "she's in a coma." And, oh my God. And thus our night out concluded with a laugh and a vow to stick to beer and strong zero next time. All the best, Nicole. Bloody hell. That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. To be a doctor, you have got to study and study and study like a crazy amount. And if you're a pilot, you've got to study an incredible amount. But you do have to know English. So, I'm just saying, if Japan wants to be, I mean, this is not a small part of the world. This is not a small out of the way, Wakayama. I mean, it's not that out of the way, is it?
It is a little bit.
I mean, doctors should know the difference between sleeping it off, having a sleep, and having a coma. I mean, we've all had like a food, like a meat coma or a food coma after we've eaten food and stuff. We go for a little snooze. But I mean, that's like something out of a sitcom, Chris. I'm not having it.
Imagine if she'd be like, "How's my friend?" And he's like, "Your friend is dead." What? Dead? Dead. Definitely dead. They mistranslated it.
Yeah.
It's not a stretch of the imagination, is it? Bloody hell.
No, it's incredible. Wow. Imagine having that kind of ringing up the parents and going, "I'm sorry, your daughter's in a coma. Her situation has been upgraded to not in a coma. She was just having a little sleep."
I just imagine in her drunken state, Nicole having to ring up all the family and be like, "Oh, in a coma." That is bonkers, isn't it? On shochu, no less, which is, to be fair, pretty horrible stuff, but horrible, absolutely horrible. Have you had it?
I do think sometimes I've got people sort of confuse alcohol poisoning with just drinking too much alcohol. I don't know when alcohol poisoning. A lot of people say they had alcohol poisoning, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, you've just drank too much alcohol. Is that what alcohol poisoning is? Just being puking and sleeping and surely that's what alcohol poisoning is, isn't it? It's you're poisoning yourself every time you drink booze, and then your body just tries to restore itself.
I want to know what the signs of alcohol poisoning were. What were they, Nicole? Let us know.
Eating a pizza, eating a massive stuffed crust pizza
from Wakayama. Well, we've got a story.
What a dilemma, though.
What a dilemma. Let us know, Nicole, what are the signs of alcohol poisoning? But well done. I'm glad that had a happy ending. It could have gone a lot worse. Bloody hell. Got a story this week, right, about a guy who defrauded 35 of his girlfriends at the same time. Have you ever done that, Pete? You ever defrauded 35 girls at once?
No, I try not to defraud the one I ever have access to, I would say, at any one time. We've been sent this story so many times this week. It had to be first billing. It had to be the first cab off the rank when it comes to the Abroad Japan podcast this week. Well done, this man. Amazing, weird scenes. What a plate spinner. He should be given some kind of admin role at a blue chip company, because he can just juggle plates like nobody's business.
To be fair,
with one goal in mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty complicated. That's the logistics of defrauding 35 girlfriends. It's certainly complex. Takashi Miyagawa, 39-year-old part-time worker of no fixed address, who was arrested for defrauding nearly three dozen women that he pretended to be in serious relationships with. In the most recent case, he told a 47-year-old woman that his birthday was on the 22nd of February, when in fact it was on the 13th of November. Other victims have also come forward, such as a 40-year-old woman whom he told his birthday was on July, and a 35-year-old who thought his birthday was in April. The current count of victims stands at 35, with the possibility of more, who are accusing Miyagawa of cheating them out of a total of 100,000 yen, $925, made up of smaller birthday gifts of money and clothing. Miyagawa reportedly met his victims while he was selling hydrogen water. What? Hydrogen water shower heads, and other equipment through a multi-level marketing company, and started up romantic relationships with each one under the assumption that marriage was on the cards. However, as his web of lies began to dissolve, like the hydrogen molecules in his therapeutic water, the women all formed a victims association and reported him to police last February. I mean, Is this illegal to do this? Like to date someone and be like, by the way, my birthday's next week when it's not, and get like a free hat and get a birthday hat.
We've said this podcast before that the Japanese police have a like nearly 99%, 98% conviction record. I don't think the police should necessarily be arresting this man because is it fraud to say that it's your birthday? I mean, I guess presumably it is. You're extorting goods and services through foul means. Did anybody actually get his proper birthday right, though? Because surely that should be struck off from the record, his criminal record, because that one is actually his birthday.
He only defrauded 33 because two of them got the right day. I don't know how I feel about this. Mostly confused. I mean, sure, has he not got better things to do with his life than go around defrauding 35 people? And for a pretty small amount of money, it's about 100,000 yen out of 35 people. You do the math, Pete. What's that? It's about $1,000 divided by 35. Yeah. What's that?
$1,000 divided by 35. I think that is 50 quid each. I don't know.
It's like 35 quid each, isn't it? So that's a good meal. Or four McDonald's's, depending on... If you put it in that perspective, man defrauds women out of 2,000 McDonald's meals. That'll be all the more impressive.
He likes his Happy Meal toys.
I wonder how they discovered what he was doing, though, forming this victims association. How did that happen?
Yeah, how would you sort of know that people are going out with each other? Like, they've done a wonderful bit of work. There must have been a lot of like hot tailing. There must have been sort of like a lot of like tailing people from property to property because and to be honest, his haul, like, you know, $925. Like, it's not a lot of money, is it, really, compared to what you could be making out of, you know, working with 35 different people.
I don't know if there's a photo of him. He's quite a handsome young man.
Yeah, you know. He's 39, but he looks a lot younger. He looks a lot more dashing, but yeah.
I think the problem is that if he was trying to lure these women into like a marriage and be like, yeah, it's serious, we're going to get married. That is a big deal in Japan, right? You know, if he's lured 35 people down the path of marriage, then they've like shut down other romances and they've got all serious. And I guess that could be quite emotionally damaging and weird and bad, but I don't know. It's just such a ridiculous story. I don't know what to make of it, really. Don't know how I feel about it. Confused, mainly, and bewildered. But
good old Takashi Miyagawa.
Oh my God. Ridiculous, man. On a slightly more ominous story this week, Tokyo's in another lockdown, the fourth lockdown. I think I'm losing count now. But the city's gone dark as the governor, Mayor Koike, has asked for the lights out in the city to help fight the pandemic. So at the moment, a lot of, I think bars and restaurants can't serve alcohol at the moment. Which has made a lot of people wonder what the point is of going to a restaurant or a bar if you can't drink alcohol. So that's the first thing. But now they're starting to clamp down on lights because what a lot of people are doing is with the restaurants being shut down, not selling alcohol, people were just going to 7-Eleven, buying some strong zeros, and then going with their friend and just sitting on the street, right? Which isn't necessarily helping the situation. So to try and counteract this, they've started switching off lights across the city. And I was in Tokyo the day that this happened because I was passing through it and I was near Shibuya and I saw all the lights go off across Shibuya. I saw the Tokyo Skytree in the distance shut down, the Tokyo Tower shut down. It's kind of eerie. So the clock strikes 8 p.m. and all the lights go off across the city. And you see these videos on Twitter of just huge swathes of Tokyo going off and the lights going off, like the Rainbow Bridge as well. Huge landmark in Tokyo. Going dark, but it's quite an extreme measure, I guess. Whether it'll help or not remains to be seen, but the cases are getting a bit out of hand at the moment.
I'd love to have a beer in the dark. I don't need light to get drunk. Yeah, it's going to be difficult, isn't it? And you sort of wonder what the way out is for Japan. And we obviously said it before, and you know, I spoke to Mark Pickering, the wrestling guy out in Tokyo, and like it's gonna be a very, very long time until Tokyo gets and Japan as a whole gets back on its feet because vaccines just aren't getting put in arms. There's no way out for them, really.
It's deeply frustrating because it's just going to be like this forever. I think gradually people are warming up to the idea of vaccines. But yeah, because Japan's history with vaccines has not been very good over the last few decades, people are reluctant to do it. But then if every month it means they're going to have to shut down Tokyo and Osaka and all these major cities, and businesses are going to go under, what choice do they have? But yeah, it's very frustrating seeing the UK, where you are, gradually come back to life and hopefully put this whole thing behind it. Japan, it could be like this for this time next year at this rate, because it just isn't happening. And it's really quite annoying and rubbish, and it's driving me mad. So yeah, I don't know what the end is. But as for whether or not the Olympics will go ahead, I still don't know. You know, I guess that's another reason they're doing this, because a lot of people are like, why the hell have the Olympics not been cancelled yet? I haven't met a single person now for a year who said, yes, the Olympics, it's going to be great. Nobody cares. Just make it stop. Just stop doing it. For the love of fuck. It's really driving everyone mad.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess... It will presumably go ahead, because I mean the athletes will the athletes be over there yet? Probably not, actually, but like, no, the athletes will be sort of aiming towards it, and it'll be as behind closed doors as they can realistically sort of go, and apparently all of like the really expensive, you know, $700 sort of premium tickets have gone on sale and stuff, so you can get your premium packages, and it might give a little bit of pleasure to a country that's only gone in one direction when it comes to the infection rate. So so here we go.
I don't know, it'll get less viewing figures than the Olympics at this rate. Sorry, not this, less viewing figures than the Oscars, which maybe watched last week.
Did that have bad viewing figures? Right,
yeah, about four people watched it. I'm not surprised anyway, these stupid award ceremonies. We're going to take a quick break, back for the fax machine, reading out your questions and stories in a moment.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, Melissa speaks to footballer Lee Nicol, who in 2019 was hacked and had intimate footage leaked online. Lee opens up about the impact it had on her and how she came back from it.
The first mental impact, it was sheer shock. It was panic attacks. It was shame. It was guilt. I think I felt every single sense of emotion. It felt a little bit like grief, as if I had lost someone, but I hadn't lost someone. The only person I think I'd lost was myself.
Meanwhile, on the latest On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents, Dotton, Andy and Miguel Delaney unpack everything surrounding the Super League and how it has changed football forever.
When you watch a Champions League game, when you watch, say, Manchester United in Champions League, Real Madrid in Champions League, it's not just a match. It's that every single minute of the match is imbued with 7 decades of history. The Super League, which has none of that. I was getting quite sad for that we were going to lose this and have to face this monstrosity.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
And we're back into the fax machine. What have we got, Mr. Donaldson, this week?
We've got an email from, let me just rotate my phone. Hey there, Chicken King and Coolish Lord. This email comes from Bastian. Bastian. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I'm starting a modern languages course in university in a few months, and I'm going to be studying Japanese as well as another language. My two options would be Mandarin or German. Good fucking Christ. Which one would you guys go for, and why? Also, at the end of said course, we were supposed to be studying at Yamaguchi Prefectural University for 2 semesters, 6 to 8 months. Have you guys ever visited Yamaguchi? And would you guys have any suggestions about cool things to see or do in Yamaguchi? Thanks for answering, your French-Canadian listener, Bastian. I guess Bastian's also already got a handle on French and Canadian, so...
He's a polyglot before he's even begun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting question. I would say Mandarin because it goes well with Japanese because you've got similar characters, right? The Chinese and Japanese kanji characters. There's a lot of similarities there. So that'll really help. There'll be a real synergy. And German, I mean, I learned German for 3 years and it was quite a cool language to learn. But I've been to Germany, got a lot of German friends, and they speak English better than I do, a lot of them. So if you speak English, I feel like German isn't overly necessary. As brilliant as it is, and
it's one of the more difficult languages as well. It's
quite difficult. I think
because they rate all languages from A to D or E or something. And Japanese, I think, is D. Obviously, Chinese is a little bit harder than that, and German is, I think, like a C or a B. Like it's much more difficult language than French or Spanish or English.
Absolutely, I learned Spanish and German, and Spanish was a walk in the park compared to German. I'd learn Mandarin for that reason, that it just kind of goes well with learning Japanese. And obviously there's more speakers of Mandarin around the world. You've got like 1 billion people, whereas Germany, the populations are what, 70 or 80 million, I think. Also, at the end of the course, Yamaguchi Prefecture. Yamaguchi has got the Fugu Blowfish, which I tasted with Ryotaro a few years ago. We did a road trip across there. It's quite a cool place. Yamaguchi's nice. And quite a powerful prefecture, because a lot of the prime ministers come from Yamaguchi, like Shinzo Abe, who was recently, up until last year, the prime minister of Japan, the longest reigning prime minister. He and his sort of family, his dynasty, came from Yamaguchi, and a lot of Japan's kind of political elite come from Yamaguchi, so it's got an outsized sort of political power. A lot of whaling there, though. I think it's the heart of the sort of whaling industry, so that's a not-so-good bit. But other than that, yeah, it's a lovely place. I'm going to eat some fugu. I think that's all there is there.
Go on, eat some fugu. But is that kind of like I always regard it as being a bit of a, not a dead space, but like a dead space between Hiroshima and Kitakyushu. So I've been to those two places, but everything in between, just rattle through it on a Shinkansen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about, what, 25, 30 minutes by bullet train from Yamaguchi to Hiroshima and about 35 minutes to Fukuoka. So it's pretty strategically well placed, but there's not much there. Lovely,
it's a cool little. It's a cool. They've got a cool little flag that looks like an eye. It's like the Eye of Sauron or something you'd pick up in a video game, an open world video game.
Oh no, because there's a skyscraper in Shimonoseki, the sort of main one of the biggest cities in Yamaguchi, and it is like this tower with this ball on the top, if I remember. And it does look like Eye of Sauron. I remember seeing it and thinking, "Wow, that is cool." So go there, go to Shimonoseki. They've got the best, one of the best markets, best seafood markets I've been to in all of Japan. We got one here from Nate from Arizona. It says, hello, Chris and Pete. I discovered your channel and the podcast about a year ago, and it's been truly one of the highlights of the year. Thank you very much, Nate. One thing I noticed, you and Pete and the Trash Taste guys all have in common is that you all very well travelled. It seems that travelling internationally, whether to visit family or for vacation, is a fairly common occurrence. My question is, how do you budget aside the funds for traveling? Is there anything you factor out of your daily living expenses in order to save up to travel? Any tips on making a budget for visiting Japan? Having recently received the COVID vaccine, I'm hoping to travel later this year to Japan if it opens back up. Keep up the great work, guys. Nate from Arizona. Pete, how do you travel? How do you have fun?
That's the thing, though, isn't it? I guess for Americans, you've only really got, and even that's quite expensive, the South America. Although, like, the US is obviously gigantic. I think when we travel to Europe, and that's a bit of a short hop, really, and there's loads of different flavors, loads of different countries there. With the Americans, I suppose, they're entire country is as big as a continent anyway. So I guess traveling for them would be to go elsewhere in the US. And also, with the Americans, that they don't get a lot of free time off. They don't get a lot of time off work. So they've really got to make it count. So they can't just toss off a weekend in Switzerland or something. But true, us Europeans, we get the low budget airlines are pretty decent. I mean, God knows whether they'll come back to the degree that they were before. But yeah, it's just a lot more affordable in Europe and around Europe, I would say. So that's we've been all around the gaff.
You can travel from London to South Spain for like £25, which is like $40, right? For like a round trip. Yeah. Absolutely joke prices before the pandemic. Mm. So I understand why a lot of Americans are kind of baffled by how much Europeans travel, I think. But I don't know, I just used to use my credit card a lot. I was very stupid. When I was at university, I did use my credit card a lot. I did, well, like one weekend, I went to Rome because I was really bored. And I went to Rome with my friend for 3 days, 2 nights. And then I crashed a moped, and that cost £2,000. And I spent like 2-3 months paying that off at work while I was at uni. So heed my warning, don't rent a scooter from a dodgy place in Rome. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, and be careful if you've got a credit card. Always pay it off. Mm. There you go. Financial advice.
Yeah, always pay it off.
On the Abroad Japan podcast.
Yeah, really in-depth financial advice. If you're going to borrow money, pay it back. Sorry, Martin Lewis.
Pay it back. And don't crash a moped in Rome, for the love of God. That's so dodgy.
Don't crash a moped anywhere, that's what I would say. Oy, oy, oy. We've got a message from Matthew from Fording Bridge. Hello, Matthew from Fording Bridge. Hello, Chris and Captain Coolish. I just want to say, me and my partner love your podcast and the Broad Japan YouTube channel. We came across it originally by mistake, and after watching a few episodes, decided we had to scroll all the way back to the beginning and watch your entire back catalogue. Now we're all caught up and incredibly eager to explore Japan ourselves. We loved your first journey across Japan, and we couldn't believe how beautiful the country was. My question is, though, where was your favourite part of your cycle amongst all of the picturesque areas you travelled through? Thank you both for the entertainment. Matthew from Frauding Bridge. He also wants me to do some train station announcements.
Everyone loves your train station announcements.
I've not been back for a while, so I'm sort of running out on you know, I've got to emotionally throw myself into this sort of thing. And Japan feels like such a kind of distant dream at the moment. I don't know whether I can muster up the pep.
Oh no, I have to get you back just for that. But I don't know, I think I, you know what, the whole journey was amazing and picturesque and brilliant, except for Niigata is really boring to cycle through. So cycle through all of Japan, just not knee getter. That's my advice on that one. Any ideas?
Get a scooter, mate. Get a 2 grand scooter.
Get a two. Oh, don't rub
smash,
it in.
Smash it up. Yeah.
Don't do that.
I mean, to be honest, I think 2 grand for a scooter, but you know. Not a, actually, no, 2 grand. No, that's terrible for a scooter. I just realized. I was just thinking how much my crappy Chinese scooter was, and I thought it was like 10 grand. It wasn't. It was a grand.
They definitely rinsed me. They took advantage of the fact I was like a 19-year-old guy in a foreign land who didn't know Italian, and I crashed it into a wall because a guy cut me up in a tunnel, and I had to sort. It was either go into the back of Alfa Romeo or go into the side of a tunnel, and I chose tunnel wall. And I drove into it like 35 miles per hour. Luckily, I had my knee in at the time, just about. But so the scooter took most of the blow. But the handlebars all got bent. The lights were smashed.
Oh no!
Tire was a bit mangled. I still drove it around Rome for the rest of the day, though. And then they had the audacity to hit me with a 2,000 euro bill. Bastard! I'm going to go back there. Make a video.
You said it was fine as well. You said you could do one of those scam videos, like anti-scam videos on YouTube. You see quite a lot.
I know. I remember roughly where it is. I'm going to go back, use my YouTube power to exact revenge and be like the worst place in Rome and just stand out the front and vlog about it. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Sunday to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week and we'll see you on the weekend. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.